Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
It's Around the House.
No, the other issue that we see with those lightnings now, they have a generator built into them.
Yeah.
So now they can be used actually to use on your house.
Sure.
Well, there comes an issue with, not to go over people's head, but GFCI stuff.
Yeah.
So you have bonded neutrals and this, and that actually takes a specific transfer switch that breaks the neutral. Otherwise, it will trip the breaker every time you go to plug it in. And we see that with a lot of professional generators out there because OSHA regulates, it has to have GFCI across the front panel.
Oh, hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
You go to plug it in, GFCI doesn't get the power back to it. It says, hey, somebody's getting electrocuted. Let's trip the GFCI.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is a lot to know, but we've got you covered. This is Around the House.
Welcome to the Around the House Show. This is where we talk everything about your home every single week. Thanks for joining us. This is going to be a powerful episode today. We got Jared Griffo from Power Equipment Direct. Let's talk power today, my friend. Welcome to Around the House.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. And
yeah,
it's interesting. And I'm a West Coast guy. So we are now starting to deal with power generation on a whole new level out here for backup power, because I'm in the Pacific Northwest and everybody go, California, you're getting your power shut off. We're all good. Until last winter, when I saw our local power company, which are cool people, I'm not saying anything bad about them, but I saw them do a little test thing up on Mount Hood where they shut it down before a windstorm. And I went, all right, guys, coming to a city near you, this is going to be coming. And sure enough, we're starting to see that when the red flag conditions go. You could be shut down for 2 or 3 days, and now it's a whole different ballgame.
Definitely. Yeah, we've definitely seen an uptick from the West Coast with the, not to name names, but the power companies just randomly shutting things down because of the wind blew a little too much or it's a little hot outside. And I get
it from their point of view, and I relate to their point of view because they're out there doing the best they can, but you get people firing off lawsuits because a power caused a fire, and they're like, whoa. Okay. It's just like everything else with insurance companies. I see them going, okay, well, how are we going to limit our liability and do that? If we didn't have crazy people suing, then we wouldn't have that stuff going on. I think they'd want to sell me power.
Yeah, I think it's by just trying to get back at the people for suing them. But no, I mean, like, hey, we're just going to shut off your power now, and that's how we'll solve this issue.
Yep. It does solve it, but it leaves a lot of us hanging, too.
Definitely.
You guys have, I wanted to get you guys on here because, you know, we've brought on each company on before in the past, but you guys have such a great selection of generators and you go across the country, which I love because we're in the Pacific Northwest here on the radio, but we're out across the U.S. on the radio. And then, of course, the podcast, we go internationally.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of people. I don't want to talk about my local store down the street because 99% of you guys out there are going to go, that ain't going to help me a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we can pretty much touch everybody across the U.S., all 48 states we ship to, not Alaska or Hawaii.
Yeah.
You really need it. We can get you out there with a volcano going off. We'll figure out something. But yeah, the grid's pretty rough. The Northeast is a big market. Oh, it's a very old grid. Obviously, Florida, Texas, where you get the weather-based outages and things like that. Texas saw that huge freeze. It was nonstop from Texas as far as business goes. I wasn't selling it anywhere else. Like, you wanted a generator? Sorry, it went to Texas already.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, and then West Coast, with all these power outages and just the way that the grid is in general, it's becoming more of a necessity rather than a want.
Well, yeah. And I'll tell you what my setup is at home, because we haven't talked about this before the show, but I've got a Energizer single gas generator. I got that a few years ago. They sent it out to me to test. And then I've got the manual transfer switch at the house, which it does great because my house is LED. It's pretty efficient. I can run most of the house off it because I think it's like a 10.5 kW or whatever it is on that thing. So it's big. However, the problem is when I had power outage because of an ice storm for 5 days, I think even though the thing's energy efficient, I used 40 gallons of gas in that thing, which I don't keep 40 gallons of gas around the house. So I was like, all right, I'm going to siphon it out of the back tank of my truck. I didn't want to have to drive for an hour to go get gas and finally ended up doing that. But
yeah,
now I'm going, okay, I'm going to have to put a tri in my life one day or just go automatic and do it that way. But that's one of the issues when you just have that gas generator is that it's good for short times, but man, that was starting to get hassle trying to find gas.
Yeah, generators primarily don't do a great job of being fuel efficient.
No. I mean,
whether it's gasoline or even the standby generators, if you're looking at like propane, on average, those things are burning like 2.5 gallons per hour at like half load.
Yeah.
So even with a big propane tank, you really got to calculate out how long of an outage you're planning on having.
Because,
you know, if it's out for a week, 2 days, 3 days, it's a lot of propane and prices of fuels in general are just not great, no matter which way you cut it.
Yeah. And I can't go solar because I got trees. So it's pretty much I'm forced to go look at natural gas probably is how I'm going to have to do it up.
Yeah, definitely ideal natural gas if you have it. And that's the other problem. Not everybody has that available, which that stinks if you have an all electric home, because then you're driving up the cost of the generator then.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I got to run everything. Everything's electric.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, what I love is you get has different brands and you guys have, you know, where do you guys start out? I know you do a lot of, you've done a lot of sales and consulting with these guys for a number of years and you're one of their experts, but where do your generators start out? What do you guys, what's some of your favorite stuff over there?
It really just depends on the customer, but the standbys are definitely the bread and butter.
Hey, man.
They're great. It's really nice. It's convenient, but that always doesn't fit into everybody's budget.
I mean,
what a lot of people don't really see with those is it's a $6,000 generator and then another $6,000 to install it by a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the portable is just the way you have to go, but those have the limitation. You're not going to do any real HVAC or anything with a portable generator. And if I'm in Florida, I may want to be able to run my HVAC. It's, again, it's a necessity, not a want. But yeah, starting portable generators, there's some great units out there. They're really basic. I know, like you said, you have a manual switch. It really does a lot for you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can just get by with that. On the flip side of that, some people just don't have the means of hooking it up, or they want to have that sense of security where maybe it's a lake house and I'm not going to be there. So this generator will kick on and do its thing and I don't have to worry about it. And they've got fun stuff like Wi-Fi connectivity and it'll tell you if it turns on. Moving into the 21st century with all that, and they're getting a lot smarter and a lot better at what they do.
Yeah, that's my thing. I have no problem. I've got a battery powered garage door opener, so it'll back up on that. So I have no problem going over, opening the garage door, the power out, dragging the generator around outside, plugging the cord into the side of the house where I got it and doing that. But if I'm not home and I got to have my wife do that, I just don't want to put her through that.
Exactly.
So that's always my fear. It's I don't want you to carry that, roll that 190 pound generator out there and put that on you in the dark. Well, that's just not that she couldn't do it. I just don't want to make her do it if she had to.
You've got that side of it. And like I was saying, Florida, there is a bit of older people down there. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be pulling a cord. If I'm 80, 90 years old, not saying they're not capable, but it's an ease. It's a convenience. Maybe just have it turn on by itself.
Yeah.
Let it do its thing.
It's really the way to go. But for the guys out there for the homeowners to go, man, I lose power every couple of years. I just want to have something small. I just want to keep the food going and just keep it simple. What do you recommend? And you guys have a lot of different brands, which I love. You guys go from Generac to Westinghouse to Champion to a lot of the different, even the Cummins ones, which are really cool. Those Cummins Owen one and Honda and all the big brands.
Yeah.
But where do people start out with kind of what would you recommend if, okay, I can't spend $12,000.
Yeah.
But I want to get something that's affordable. And I never send them down to the home center or one of the import stores because who knows what you're going to get.
Exactly. Starting out, I really, to simplify it, if you just want to run your home, 8,000 watts will cover pretty much most of everybody. If you have an all-electric home, move up to 10, 12,000. And the reason you go that route is due to the outlets on them. There's NEMA outlets, so they're all standardized. 8,000 watts is 33 amps. We'll have a 30-amp outlet on it. So I can utilize all that power out of that generator. If I need more, 12,000 watts is 50 amps. Yeah. As a 50-amp outlet, I can utilize all that power. So just to make it simple, 8,000 watts, if you're basic, just the necessities around the house. If you want more, move up to 10, 12,000, and that'll cover your house. And there's just a plethora of generators out there that, and you'll see most of them in that range due to that fact.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is that you and I haven't talked about this, but it's just one of the things that I'm always concerned about, man, is okay. And then now people have that F-150 or the new truck car that they got to charge. Right. So all of a sudden you've got, okay, cool. I don't have any power at the house, but I was really planning on plugging my car in tonight. And I don't have enough charge to get up to the supercharger or whatever that's out of my area to get it there. Now you're stuck trying to depend on your generator to put something in it so you got some quote unquote fuel to get there.
Yeah. Electric cars have definitely been giving me a headache. It's nothing wrong with them. The fact of it is, if you want to use those chargers that are already built into your house, everybody has something different. They might draw a little bit different power here or different power there. And sizing or helping my customers size to that, it's like, what do you have? And they don't know, unfortunately. I don't expect them to. They had somebody install it to their house, which they should, and you need a professional. And whether it's a Tesla or a Ford or this and that, all going to vary. What people can do, though, is a lot of those cars do have just regular electrical outlet type plugs. It takes a lot longer, but it can, if you're doing it overnight, you can at least plug right into a portable and get yourself back to a supercharger or something.
Exactly. You're so right about the chargers, though, man, because you can get those. It's like, all right, it's 30 amps. But my buddy just bought a brand new one of the F-150 Lightnings, which in theory can back charge into the house. And he bought that charger that goes with it. That's a 70 amp charger.
It's huge.
So you're not going to just hook that up to your portable to do that. No. You got a problem then. So now you're grabbing out your level two charger or something, like you said, to put that in there. But you're not hooking that up to a portable generator very easily.
No, the other issue that we see with those Lightnings now, they have a generator built into them.
Yeah.
So now they can be used actually to use on your house.
Sure.
There comes an issue with, not to go over people's head, but GFCI stuff.
Yeah.
So you have bonded neutrals and this, and that actually takes a specific transfer switch that breaks the neutral. Otherwise, it will trip the breaker every time you go to plug it in. And we see that with a lot of professional generators out there, because OSHA regulates, it has to have GFCI across the entire front panel.
Oh, hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
You go to plug it in, GFCI doesn't get the power back to it. It says, hey, somebody's getting electrocuted. Let's trip the GFCI. So there are special switches for that. Okay. That we do sell, but that's been a headache because
a lot of people about don't know. That. Yeah, you got the arc fault breakers and everything else, and so you can be really messing with a lot of different stuff with all the new stuff. Oh, dude, I hadn't even thought about that. Great call, Jared. Yeah, I can see where that's giving you a headache because all of a sudden you've got a whole different neutral situation going on, and it's
great. I mean, and it's all newer stuff. How long have those Ford's been out? I don't know, a couple of years a year now.
Yeah. I saw one almost a year ago. So that's when they were first bringing it out, but that's going to be a problem. And then of course you're planning on with the Ford, and I love the thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a super cool truck.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having one in my driveway, but you're also assuming that you pulled it home and it was fully charged.
Yeah.
If you came home going, oh man, I've been all over the place today. I got to get that thing. Oh, there goes the power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good job site thing, running your tools, this and that. That's awesome. But for backfeeding your home, in a pinch, that's what, I don't know if I'd set it up for that. But
I've heard, here's the other thing I heard from people in the RV world out there. The RV campsites are having a problem now with people going out camping because they're bringing the trucks out there they didn't set the electricity up in the campsites to charge electric vehicles. So they're taking these maybe 20 amp setups and plugging in 30 chargers and either burning stuff up or kicking breakers off. And there's been a lot of issues talking to people in the RV world that are taking out there that are towing around the Tesla, or they got it, you know, towing the electric vehicle around, that they go plug it in at the campsite and it's taking the whole campsite down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I deal a lot with, we do onboard RV generators, the own in ones, and those have just, they got hit pretty hard with COVID and everything and production delays.
Oh,
people were buying RVs with no generator on them that need a generator, and they're waiting years for those to come out. But yeah, I couldn't imagine that. I never thought that having to charge your vehicle is going to take down a whole grid and people are trying to enjoy their weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. It's wild. So how are you guys doing on inventory and stuff too? I just want to ask that question because I know we've had hurricanes now. We had COVID. We've had all the different, I know everybody's here tired of hearing about the supply chain issues, but they were real. You guys been doing pretty good on getting stuff back in stock?
Surprisingly, yeah.
Awesome.
It seems like most of the major brands out there, we sell everything. We sell, at least for standbys, Generac, Kohler, Briggs, Cummins, the big major brands. And they're all doing actually pretty well on their more popular items. I would say some of the bigger units, when you get into the more of the commercial, those are taking a little bit longer to get out. There's EPA restrictions, things like that, that they're running into on top of the production delays.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, California.
But and that's actually one of them. We do have specific generators that have to ship into California. They have to have like catalytic converters on them. And this is for even propane and natural gas.
Oh,
so
brutal. Yeah. Brutal. Yeah, I could see where that's an issue. And then, of course, so you're building special ones for California. They're buying them up because of the power grid issues they have down there. Okay.
Yeah,
I get it. What's the most common size of, let's jump over into standbys a little bit, because I know people see them, but I don't think they really understand how that all works. They're a great unit that you can slam in there next to your house, but you got to sit there, like you said, you got to put a concrete pad in. Now you got to hook in natural gas or whatever fuel source you're going to be using and then hook it into your service and stuff. So yeah, you can spend starting about what, $6,000 on a unit. And then you probably double that for install.
Yeah. On average, it's, you can get into some of the smaller units if you're just trying to get by with, again, lights, refrigerators, things like that, maybe $3,000 or $4,000. But generally we're Americans. We want the biggest and the baddest out there. Why not?
Guilty as charged. I'm the same way. If I'm going to go spend $6,000 or $8,000 on one, I'm going to pay 10 and have it do everything.
Exactly.
While you're at it, it's, you've already made the decision to do it. I just couldn't see going in and going, oh, I'm going to get this. And no, man, just have it. So, you know, you're watching the game and the game's still on. You don't have to mess with that at that point. That's the whole right. That's the whole reason of getting that.
True.
Is to power everything.
Yeah. The average customer is probably buying something in the 20,000 to 24,000, 26,000 watt.
Yeah.
Right around there. That's pretty much where we stay. Again, the lower wattages, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just, and when you're at 24,000 watts, you're talking, that's 100 amps. That's, if you have a 200 amp panel, you're feeding
never
half of
that.
Everything. Yeah. You're never getting that. So you're feeding half the panel all at the same time. But the biggest reason for people going that large, honestly, is HVAC.
Yeah.
A lot of the generators are rated at what tonnage AC unit they can actually run.
Nice.
You know, an example, a 14 ton or a 14 kW generator can run a 3-ton AC unit. 18 will do 4, so on and so forth. So when we are dealing with, again, Texas and Florida, which everything's bigger in Texas anyways, but they got two 5-ton air conditioners, and the generators need to compensate for that startup surge of a 5-ton. Even with the very efficient stuff out there now with HVAC, you're still talking maybe surging to 100, 120 amps instantaneously.
Wow.
So
hadn't thought about the surge. Cause like my AC unit, I just put a brand new one in that's variable speed and everything, but that thing, it's, everything's all digital motors and stuff on it, but still that thing is still using a 30 amp breaker for the AC side of things. The furnace side as far as gas, but yeah, hadn't thought about it. Yeah, that could be more than 30 amps just in the startup phase on something like that.
Yeah, we take that for granted with regular power because it's pretty much unlimited. It starts up, we don't care. Well, maybe the lights dim a little bit when my AC fires up.
But yeah,
the grid doesn't really care, but the generators do, right? Yeah. They have to be able to produce that power to actually start it up. That's a big reason for going that big. And like you said, why not just have it do everything?
Yeah. But, I thought I had on mine. I went from a gas water heater to electric, but I went to the heat pump water heater, which is great. Cause if I keep it, I always keep it on the heat pump side. That thing only draws, it's an 80 gallon tank. It only draws 500 watts.
Oh, wow.
When it's heating. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like 500 watt light bulbs. Okay, cool. I'm not doing too much with that. So I can be running the refrigerators, the water heater and stuff and still not be pulling too much on it. And with LED lights, they're sure helping as well.
Yeah, no, that's actually awesome to have that low of consumption because I've dealt with some people who have 60, 80 amp breakers on their electric hot water heater. And it's like, I need to size you a pretty big generator.
Yeah, and that. You're almost better to go buy a convert over to the water heater because it's cheaper than having to double the size of your generator because you can buy a $1,500 heat pump water heater that pays for itself pretty quick because you're also saving every day on doing water. And then you have to put less on the generator side. So
absolutely. What are those? The on-demand water heaters. Those are great too.
Yeah. They're great. The electric ones, I'm sure, are a headache for you guys. The electric on-demand ones, because all of a sudden those are pulling 70 amps on that thing because those things are not efficient.
Just the coil. Yeah, the coils on them. Just a solid state coil just pulling tons of power.
Yeah.
It works.
I get it. So how do you size up those, like the, for instance, like the Generac? That's obviously a big brand name out there. There's a lot of different ones out there as far as the standbys, but Generac, Kohler, whatever. How do you size those up? Do you just start working on the how big a panel it is and then based on the AC tonnage as well?
Yeah, that's pretty much the get-go. I've been doing it long enough where honestly, I just tell people what they need.
Yeah.
But we do have, so every manufacturer has their own sizing calculator. Can actually go down and it'll just spit out a list of generators. We actually have one on our site that works great. And it actually, we try to oversize about 20%. Give the generator a little breathing room. So, you know, if you are using it towards the max, you're not really working it very hard.
But smart.
The sizing calculators work fantastic. They're going to give you a good rough estimate of what's required. Nice. That's one route. Obviously, calling us and asking us, we'll help you out.
Sure.
Otherwise, one of the best ways, because obviously you're going to need a installer anyways, would be to have somebody come out and do a load calculation.
There you go.
A lot of places, I've dealt with it even in California, they require a load calculation to be done before install anyways.
Oh, cool.
To make sure that we're actually meeting the needs of that home. So
smart.
Yeah, but it can cause issues.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not... You and I know we're never drawing 200 amps off a 200 amp panel.
If you're undersized on the panel, to be honest.
Yes.
You're loading that thing up.
Yeah. Your electric bill would be insane.
Yeah.
But the average person is probably actually drawing anywhere between 10 to 30 amps throughout the day. And the HVAC kicks on maybe a little bit more. If you get something in the 100 amp range, cover half of your panel, usually it's going to be perfectly fine. You don't have to worry about much unless you have a gigantic home or a 400 amp panel, split services. It starts to get a little messy, which we do deal with. We actually have switches. We have transfer switches that are designed for split service.
Oh, cool.
It's like switches in one and things. So there's all the different ways of going about it. I would say if you're just getting started, try out one of the calculators or give a call and go through a professional too. Your code may need it.
Absolutely. So when you're shopping for these things out there, of course, the Wi-Fi stuff is to me super important because I'm a tech guy. ESF, like they've got the AC shedding or load shedding, that kind of stuff. What does that mean when people are out there doing their due diligence on just looking around, thinking about what they want to get?
So AC shedding is probably the most confusing thing for my customers, but it's actually probably the easiest thing to explain. So basically what it does is it allows the generator to automatically shut down a particular circuit. Let's say I have a hot tub, right?
Yeah.
I really don't care that my hot tub's on, but that thing's on a 50 amp breaker and it's going to just draw half of the power of my generator all the time. You can use the load shedding to actually either shut it down if it's going to overload the system, or you can actually completely lock out a particular item from coming on, which is, it's super cool because now we're making that a smaller generator seem bigger. It can do a lot more for my house because I don't have to compensate for all these other weird nuances.
That's great for hot tubs and pools and things like that, that you're like, I'm not worried about it today. It's summertime. If that thing doesn't kick on today, it's not the end of the world. And I guess it's different if you got a pool and you're trying to keep the water moving for freezing or something, but you can also deal with that individually as well, seasonally.
Yeah. But one of the great uses for it is if you have multiple AC units.
Oh,
if I've got two or three AC units, I don't want them all trying to come on at the same time. Again, we talked about that surge.
Yeah.
So it can actually manage them in a sequence. So it'll turn on one. If it has enough power, it'll turn on another. Or maybe I'm baking a cake and doing laundry and all this and that, and they won't come on until all those other items shut off.
Okay.
It's just a simpler way of not having to load manage yourself and go and shut off.
And breakers. Yeah. And you're assuming that you're there to do that.
Yeah.
So is that typically done through the app then? Is that usually how the most common way to do that? Or is that through when you set that load shedding up? Is that different kind of between each manufacturer? Or?
So it depends on the manufacturer, but a lot of it is just set it and forget it, which is a lot of people want.
Sure.
You'll get what they call like a management module, and that will actually tie into a specific breaker.
Okay.
A lot of them are wireless, so they're not actually using, it's actually pretty cool how they do it. They're not actually using Wi-Fi or anything. Send a signal over the neutral wire of the home.
Oh,
so it knows that the generator's on.
Everything's wired. So of course.
Yeah. So but I guess to bring it back, they can only be used on 240 volt items.
Oh yeah.
Because of that.
That makes sense. Cause you got to have that neutral in the ground and the everything else in there with the two hots. So coming in. So that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. But, and then the coolest use that I've found for it, and especially in your side of the country, for solar.
Yeah.
Because people have solar that'll backfeed the grid and it'll go through like an inverter and through, let's say a 30 amp breaker. But if the generator turns on, the inverter says, hey, we got power back. And now it starts backfeeding the generator, which is a no-no.
Yeah.
So what we do is we put one of those on that breaker. It locks out power from going to that inverter. And then the generator shuts down, unlocks that module, and allows it to backfeed again.
That's smart. Because, I hadn't thought about that with solar. Because all of a sudden it comes on, generator's like, woohoo, we're done.
Yeah.
And the solar's not bringing enough to power the house because it's only kicking a little bit out.
Yeah.
They thought everything on that. I love it. I love it. So is most everybody doing on those standbys? Are they pretty much, is natural gas pretty much the most common way to go?
It's the easiest.
When you can get it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you already have it, there's no reason to do any other fuel.
Yeah.
The upside of propane is that you actually do get, they're rated higher, if you will. So there's more energy in propane.
Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of these generators are actually rated at their propane rating. So let's say a Generac 22 kW, 2 kW on propane, 19.5 on natural gas.
Ah, there we go. Okay.
And that's not just, I shouldn't just say Generac, that's across the board.
Just it's how just everybody
comes
does
with
it.
The territory. You have less horsepower, and you need horsepower to turn a magnet, right?
Yep. So it's like when you got a car that's flex fuel and you go use the E85, all of a sudden it's like, hey, that's cool. It's cheaper, but that also cuts down your power by 20%.
Yeah, it cuts down your power. And then it also drains your fuel tank because it takes two times the amount.
Yep, that too. But you'd have to have a massive propane tank to fill these, though. That's the other, the downside of that is you got to have a solid, like the gas station style propane tank if you're going to lose power for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, minimum size that you're going to want is about 250 gallons. That's minimum. Not everybody has the space for that, and especially if you got a homeowners association and you can't bury it.
HOAs love you on that one. Oh, yeah. Man.
I've had HOAs that made people paint their generator the same color as the house.
Oh.
Just to make, so everything matches. And yeah,
could do a whole show on HOA horror stories. Our condo associations are just as bad too.
Yeah.
Those are the worst too. Oh yeah. That's, hadn't thought about that, but that's the thing with those big tanks. You got to figure out where to put those things and have access for the propane company to come out and fill it up too.
Yeah. That's all part of it. Plus if you're in a cold climate, again, there's a, it expands and contracts with cold. So if I'm got a 250 gallon tank and it's below 40 degrees, I might only have 100 usable gallons in there.
Oh, yeah.
So and like my BTUs. Son, and yeah.
Yeah. So my son that lives in outside of Bismarck, North Dakota, that just moved there, he'd have some serious troubles when it's negative 30 outside.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
But he probably has natural gas, you know.
He does. Midwest. Yeah. It's a Midwest thing.
Yeah. Or Midwestern.
Yep. They're smart on that. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. I like that. And does anybody on the residential side do anything like diesel or stuff, or is that pretty much more commercial?
Farmers.
Farmers?
No, a lot of farmers too will do it. They have a ton of diesel on their property. Why not? Yep.
Yeah, you got farm fuel out there, so it's easy.
Yeah, yeah, and they can use that. I guess the biggest misconception is people think they can use heating oil in them. And yeah, no, that will just destroy a generator. I've had that.
It's too dirty, right?
Yeah, too dirty. It has to be the low sulfur, low output stuff. Diesels are great and they're built like tanks.
Oh yeah.
The cost is really what kind of comes into play. When an example would be a 20 kW air cooled, let's say Generac, is roughly, again, $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah.
A diesel is probably $15,000-$16,000.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah.
Different animal though.
Different animal. If you got the farm and the fuel and you don't have natural gas, then that might make good sense for you.
It, yeah, that makes more sense on that aspect. We have a lot of PTO-driven generators that are awesome.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the farmers will do that because they already have a tractor. You can get a huge generator. That'll
go forever. And the power's there, the tractor.
Yep.
That tractor is used to running all that time. And you can just, I totally forgot about PTO. That's awesome.
Yeah, I actually love PTO generators. They're so simple.
And so everybody out there, what this is, just if you're not like a Midwest person or a farmer person that I like, I used to. So you got a tractor or even a truck sometimes will have a power takeoff is what this is. And so it's just a shaft that comes out of the transmission, basically, that you could turn off and on. And that's what farmers will sit there and turn on the maybe the mower deck that's behind them or whatever else they're dragging around. Instead of running that blade, you could put on a generator and run your power that way. So hadn't thought of that because now all of a sudden you don't have to worry about a power source. You just have to worry about the power creation side of things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Pull the tractor up and off you go.
Yeah. No, they're actually fantastic. Obviously, these people have invested a lot of money in a tractor. We're not talking like a regular lawnmower.
So,
cost more than my car type tractor.
Some people's houses in our listening audience. Let's get serious.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. So. Those tractors, some of those tractors, and if you're not in a farm area, when I was in high school, I'll tell this funny story and you'll kind of laugh. We used to go out four buying and mudding and doing all that stuff. I was in the Tri-Cities, Washington there, and I got to be careful because the listening audience of the place that we used to do this at is now listening to this on the radio. But I won't even mention what brand it is, but we'd go out four buying and at 11 o'clock at night, we got everybody stuck. We'd always have one person. We'd drive like 10 miles on the freeway, go over to the tractor dealerships because all my buddies worked there. We'd get the flag cars and run the tractor out the freeway in the middle of the night, go out there, pull everybody out, run it back, spray it off, put it back up in the line, and nobody knew any different.
No, man.
But I'm not going to say brands because I know a lot of people that still work around there. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but if you saw us running down the street on the freeway at 2 o'clock in the morning in the 90s or late 80s, that was me.
See, that's just normal around here. We're in Illinois. Okay. So no, if you're not in Chicago, you're in a farmland. That's pretty much it. Or Chicago.
Absolutely.
The suburbs, which
we're
in the burbs, but
Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, that's a good one though, man. I hadn't thought about that. I totally forgot about the whole PTO option. And for the farming community out there, brilliant. Yeah. And then you guys do also the service on the RV and replacements on RV generators as well, right?
Servicing and whatnot, we don't.
Okay, so just supplying those.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, so. Yeah, we do more of the just sales on those.
Gotcha.
Those are a little difficult. They definitely. Yeah. It's almost like a standby generator, but on your RV or your truck, or we even sell commercial models for boom trucks. They'll have like a PTO or a hydraulic pump driven on.
Yeah.
For the hydraulics, but just strictly sales.
Okay, good. And the crazy part of those things is it's not only do you have to figure out how it's going to power stuff, you also got to make sure it fits in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of people don't think that, again, they want the biggest and baddest for their RV or whatnot. It's the little cubby hole you have built for this is only this big. So instead of 7,000 watts, you're getting 4. So yeah. Sorry.
It's what it is. So what else we should be talking about with generators here that we haven't really talked about, man? Because I used to say generators, you'd see it a lot on job sites now. Mm-hmm. Less and less of that with the cordless power tools, because almost mm-hmm. everything out there is cordless power tools, but there's still guys out there doing it. But I see more of people out doing campsites and stuff with it probably mm-hmm. now. And you guys sell those, by the way, the smaller ones that you'd use for maybe a job site or a campsite?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the big popular units right now, and you'll hear the term thrown out there, which it's used pretty loosely in the industry, is inverter mm-hmm. type generator. We talked about the solar and they have inverters and this and that. An inverter meaning it takes it from one power to another and then converts it back. So the small little generators, some of the Hondas and Champion makes good ones, and Westinghouse. Basically what they do is they take the power out of the generator, they turn it mm-hmm. into DC, and then they turn it back to AC, which makes it extremely clean. So a very clean sine wave.
Yep.
You get people like mobile DJs where mm-hmm. if I had just a normal generator going, you might hear actually the harmonics of that coming out of the speakers. Yeah. So a very clean power output is pertinent in that portion, that and like server rooms.
Yeah.
A lot of people with server rooms, and they not only that will they have the servers, but they have HVAC equipment that's attached to that.
Got it.
Those are a little bit tricky to size for, but yeah, the little inverters are fantastic. You use it for camping. You can use it for RVs. Yeah. You can even use it for home use. If you're just trying to run
mine, it says inverter on it. It's a big one.
Yeah. Know?
But yeah, the power coming out of the thing, I've had no issues as far as that, other than massive gas consumption. But other than that, it gets the job done.
Some of the newer ones are pretty cool where, because they're an inverter, so the way the magnets work, they have to spin at 3,600 RPM to get 60 hertz. Everything in the U.S. is 60 hertz, right? So 3,600 RPM with the magnet. The inverters, because they're taking in that power, they can almost work like a three-phase where they can lower their RPMs to, let's say, 2,500 RPM. So you'll conserve on fuel because it doesn't have to put out a lot of power.
Because of the inversion process. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes sense.
So that might be what you need.
Save
yourself a couple gallons.
Right? Oh, yeah. I'm due for an upgrade. I think it's one of those things that I'll probably be getting a hold of you guys for doing a standby one of these days, because it's just going to have to be that way. And I have that. That's one of the Reliance manual switchover switches, which works great, but that's only 30 amps. And that's the problem that does, is it doesn't do everything, even though my generator puts a little bit more out than that. That's what I put through that switch. And I probably should have gotten with a bigger switch, but that's all I could get at the time, because I did it during COVID and it was like 30 amps. Do they make actually bigger transfer switches for that, or is 30 amps pretty much the biggest they do for that? I guess that's the question. That have you seen anything bigger than that on those transfer switches?
Yeah. So 30 amps is common. 50 amps is the step up from there. Again, we were talking, you'll see the 30 amp outlets, 50 amp outlets, everything just kind of flows together. And then even on top of that, we've got like whole house type switches where almost like an interlock. But what it'll do is it's rated for like 200 amps on one end. And then on the opposite side, you'll have a 50 amp or 125 amp breaker. Shut off the main flip or shut off that main breaker, flip it over to the generator side, and now I'm feeding my whole house with generator power.
All right. I like that. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
If I wanted to take that project on, that might be a way to go, but I think I'm just going to have to go the other direction with that.
A lot of people don't like it because you have to get pull permits and whatnot, because you have to pull the meter can.
Yeah.
You can't, it has to be installed before the main breaker.
Yep. I actually tried to do one of those where you pull the meter and that plug goes in and the meter goes on top of it.
Yeah.
My local power company quit letting you do that.
Yeah. Those are actually pretty awesome. I've been trying to get my hands on those myself, but they really do curtail a little bit more to power companies, where they'll be like, oh yeah, our power company will come out and install this. It's actually a fantastic option because you just plug right into that and it does its thing. Beyond that, if you just get a, you know, like a Reliant switch 30 amp with 10 circuits or however many you need, they work very well.
Yeah, it's mine's foolproof. I like it, and it seems to be a good brand, and it's pretty simple to install too.
Yeah, I like the fact that you're not flipping on and off breakers. They have switches on it.
Because
a lot of people don't know, a breaker's not a switch. It'll wear down.
Yeah.
So having a switch there avoids that wear of that breaker for safety.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many commercial, think about commercial buildings all the time. People go in and turn the warehouse lights on, and they're clicking breakers every morning. And when they leave, they're clicking it. Those weren't really designed to do that.
Nope.
That's how you wear that stuff out. So, Jared, what else have we not talked about today that is some good tips out there? You guys, of course, powerequipmentdirect.com is where we find you guys. But what do you recommend? Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that people should know before they start going out and thinking about either getting a generator or upgrading that generator?
I guess one of the genres that we didn't cover is batteries.
So there's let's talk about that. Yeah.
There's a lot of batteries. Everybody's got batteries now. It's the hot new thing, right? Mm-hmm. Just if you are buying something along those lines, be careful of the limitations. A lot of people don't understand what a watt hour is. Mm-hmm. If I have a 1,000 watt hour generator or battery system, let's say, that means that if I draw 1,000 watts from that battery, it's going to give me power for 1 hour.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think, oh, it's going to put out 1,000 watts, and then all of a sudden it doesn't live up to their expectations. On top of that, a lot of these companies, Generac and Kohler especially, are coming out with whole house battery systems.
Those are pretty cool. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Make me a little nervous, but it's new, but they work super cool. I like them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like just a gigantic UPS system.
Yeah. Yeah. Tesla car battery on the wall, basically, that's running your house.
And that's who they're competing against is the Tesla wall.
Yeah.
But I could see where it's really nice if you live in an area where you have really high peak hours of power, because you can actually set those things up. So it'll turn on at a certain time of the day. You'll run off batteries and then charge back the batteries either on solar or off of the grid at your lower peak period.
Nice.
So that's nice. The U.S. isn't terrible. So certain places are.
Yeah.
As far as grid power, but it definitely is a great option. A little pricey. It comes with the technology.
Yeah.
It's new. It's that shiny new thing. Everybody wants it.
So are they a lot more than, I haven't looked at pricing recently. Are they a lot more than just doing a standby generator, having it done, or are they up in that price point?
They're quite a bit more. If you're looking for backup power, I don't think you're going to beat the pricing on a generator.
Okay. Yet. That's what I was thinking.
Because you're talking, I hate to say it, for a good system, probably $30,000.
Woo!
And that's like full batteries. You'll be running for days off batteries, but.
Yeah. That's might wait till technology gets a little bit better and that price goes down if you're thinking battery to me.
Yeah, soon enough, the market will have enough out there and the technology will catch up and we'll have some pretty nice systems that are more reasonably priced out there.
I noticed recently that Tesla and their solar roof just got quiet and went away. I saw that, heard from some listeners that had scheduled installs and all of a sudden they went no longer available and gave them their deposits, showed up in their bank account, and off they went. So I think that that one is going away, but I'm sure there's other stuff that's happening out there. But some of that stuff's changing quickly.
Yeah, with the limitation on certain things, with still microprocessors and stuff like that. It's a weird market. And I think Tesla's always ahead of the game, but maybe too far ahead where they don't see the market changes so quickly that they're all great intentions, but
Yeah. They're just being the leader sometimes means you get your hand slapped a few times too out there. So it does. But I tell you what, they are the worst as far as the media trying to get a hold of those guys to talk about something. It's easier to talk to a manager at Apple than it is at Tesla. And to tell you how hard that is.
You could probably get a hold of Elon Musk on Twitter more easily than talking to one of their PR
100%.
People.
I have a better chance. Because, man, I have reached out probably 40 times to those guys and I get crickets. And I know people that are huge news people out there that crickets. They just don't want to talk to anybody. They're like, all right, that's their game. They're just going to be quiet.
They got the secret sauce and they don't want to give the formula.
No kidding. So. 14 herbs and spices they got going in there. That's awesome. Jared, is there anything else we missed, man? That battery's a good one. I forgot to even mention that, brother.
No, the batteries are great. As far as generators go, if you really are interested in them, give us a call. Or there's tons of information online. The internet's great, right? But it's the Wild West. You're going to get conflicting information here or there. Go with this, go with that. Again, I've been doing this a while. Give us a call. That's a good place to even start, even if you're not buying anything.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a person that has been in the business long enough that's professional that actually wants to give you information.
Right? And that's one of the things that kind of brought me to bring you on here is that I love that you carry so many different brands. So when you talk to somebody on the phone, you're not giving them the brand pitch. You're going, all right, really, this brand and this model is really what you're looking for your situation versus, this is going to kind of work, but that's all we make.
Yeah. And that's what I love about this is I can actually help the customer pick what they need and I don't have to oversize them because I'll get a lot of installers where they'll strictly only install a 22 kW. That's it. Doesn't matter what the install is because they know it's going to work.
Yeah.
And some people just don't need that.
Yeah. 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 It's like oversizing AC units. Sometimes it's not the best plan.
Oh, definitely not with that. So short cycling and
exactly
that humid in your house. Yeah.
And that can't be good though, too, with if you've got a generator that's a standby generator that's way big and it's just idling along, that can't be that great for it either. Yeah. You'd think you'd want to have it sized correctly.
Yeah. If you're in the 50 to 80% range, that's about where they like to sit. Fuel consumption wise and output, that's just going to probably be longest life of it. If you buy it or size it in that range, like the diesels, you get issues with wet stacking if they're undersized. So those are a little bit more finicky. But again, most people that are buying diesels pretty much know what they want. You're not going to come into it, come calling me up being like, I want this $18,000 generator on my house. You're doing a little bit more research.
Amen. Amen. Jared, man, I want to get you back on again here in the future. This has been great today, man. And best place for people to get a hold of you is over at Power Equipment Direct at powerequipmentdirect.com or give you a call on the phone, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, right now, we have a promo for your show. First 100 people to use the promo code ATH, they'll save $50 on a qualifying portable generator on our site. They can do a Power Equipment Direct, which actually we have multiple sites with that. We do air compressors and all kinds of fun stuff. Otherwise, electricgeneratorsdirect.com. They can talk to me on the phone. I'm there.
Nice, man. That's great. And thanks for that promo code. Who doesn't want $50, right?
Yeah, especially nowadays.
Right? That'll fill one of the tanks up in a truck, maybe.
Yeah, fill the tank in your generator.
Exactly. That's awesome. Thanks for taking the time today, man. I really appreciate it. I even learned stuff today, so that's awesome.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jared. I'm Eric Jeet, and you've been listening to Around the House.
Anywhere beyond the mean, life is a love song, let's be lovers. We're all over the radio, take my hand, I know where to go. All over the radio, with you.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.